Well, good morning.
Good to have all of you. Glad you're here on the hill this morning. I want to say welcome to all of you. If you will get out your Life Point outline this morning, we are in our series, and I'm sticking to that, even though we hit some of these holidays during the summertime. We're going to stay with our subject matter of You Asked For It, because we've got several different messages that we need to get out, and we'll run out of time, and the summer will be gone before we know it. So this morning, we're going to be talking about really one of the most requested topics out there. In fact, this one got really, really high requests, and that is, how do I know God is speaking to me? How do I know that it's Him? Which is a great question. And so, we're celebrating July the 4th, the liberation from the dominion of England, and we became our own country and living our life here as we believe God wants us to do that. And so it's just a great segue over to what I want to talk to you about this morning, because one of the things when God is speaking to us, our Father is always about us learning how to live free. And the best way to live a free life is to live in obedience to Him. God's desire is for us to be liberated from the dominion of sin and death and decay. And the Bible says very clearly in Scripture that the wages of sin is what? Death. All right? So God doesn't have to do anything. Some people say, well, God's just really coming down on me. God doesn't have to do anything. Whenever I sin, the wages of sin is what? Death. God doesn't have to do anything. God has said it's already set in motion. So when I live in sin, there's only and always going to be one result. And that causes all kinds of problems in my life and in your life. And I want you to listen. I've got two passages I want us to look at this morning, and just talking about God speaking to us, because I honestly believe that God is speaking all the time. God is a speaking God, according to Holy Scripture. Over in 1 Kings, Elijah was going through some real difficult times, and God sent him to a place. He sent him to a wilderness, and he got into a cave, and God called him to come out. And there was a strong wind, and there was an earthquake, and then there was a fire. But he realized, he said, God's not in any of that. And then he heard a still, small voice, right? And so he went out, he covered his face in his cloak because he knew he was in the presence of God. And what God is simply saying is, I am a speaking God. There's no problem with me communicating to anybody. But our lives get insanely overloaded. Hello. And some of you enjoy coming here on Sunday morning. I think it's because you're coming here to worship, and I know that you are. But for some of you, this is the only time you get to sit still and nobody will bother you. Amen. Finally, I've got a place. The phone can't get me here, you know? And so you sit here and you just enjoy, 30 minutes of listening to the beautiful sound of my voice. And so, I know that's a joke. I want to read two passages. One is from the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 6. That's not Job, it's Job, right? And so, Job chapter 6, verse 1. Because I think what you hear Job say is going to resonate with a lot of us. I know it's resonated with me time and time again in just getting ready for the Word. The Bible said, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, all right? So here it is, Job 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Then Job spoke, if my misery could be weighed and my troubles could be put on the scales, they would outweigh all the sand of the sea. That is what you call a heavy load. Would you agree with that? And it's like, I can't take one more thing, one more thing, and I'm done, right? And we've all felt that. Would you agree with that? It's like, Lord, surely I cannot handle one more thing, right? All right, that's what Job is saying. All right, so I want you to listen now to what God says, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is the words of the Lord Jesus. Now just listen to him. This is like music to your ears. Matthew 11, 28. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Because my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." And so if Job's lament just resonates with your heart, what I want you to understand this morning is this: God is seeking to get your attention. I mean, if that passage is like, oh man, he is playing my song, I can totally get that. I know what he's talking about. Then I want you to know that means that God is seeking to talk to you. Listen to Proverbs 20 and verse 30. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. So here's what I want you to write down somewhere on your notes, because this is like from this morning, God just put this in front of me, and that is this: the issue isn't God not speaking to you. Because people will say, how do I know God is speaking? Well, no, listen. The issue isn't that God is not speaking. The issue is the matter of volume. Volume. The volume of God's voice. And see, the thing is, many of us are hard of hearing. And it isn't primarily because physically you've got ears that don't work right. We are hard of hearing because of the activity of our lives. We go from one thing to the other. And so remember, go back to 1 Kings chapter 19. God speaks in what kind of a voice? Still, small voice. That's how God speaks. That's how God speaks. And so what God is simply saying here is this: how loud do I have to yell into your life to get at your attention? And so what the Father does is he permits the craziness of our lives to go up. Because when the craziness of our lives goes up, it's like the volume of God's voice increases, and we're able to hear him finally, because he's been trying to get a hold of us all along. I found this letter in my study. I found this letter from somebody that just really resonated with me, and I think it'll resonate with you. And this woman was writing this to her pastor, and she said, "Pastor, I can't remember the last time I felt refreshed and rested. My life has been on overload for years. There are just too many expectations and responsibilities and activities. I am tired of always rushing to the next expectation that's laid on me." Some of you could say, yes. I don't understand that. "I don't have any margin in my week. I don't have time to do what's really important. This is crazy. This can't be God's will for my life." Bingo. "I really want to learn how to rest and relax in God's plan, not just for my own health, but because I can see how my children are learning my crazy lifestyle." You know, I want our fellowship here on the Hill. The thing that God wants us to be attractional to a lost and dying world. We are not attractional to a lost and dying world if we are doing life like a lost and dying world. We are attractional when we're different, not when we're the same. And so we talk about that on staff. You know, our whole deal is not what kind of cutesy thing can we be doing like the world does to try to attract people. No. That's not what's attractional to the world, right? What is attractional is something that is different, Something that is doing life in a different way. And I want Harmony Hill to be healthy. I want all of us, I want us to be healthy spiritually. That we are doing well spiritually. That we don't burn out and drop off. That we have life group leaders who just, you know, I come to the place, I can't give anymore. I'm burned out. That's not a badge of honor. Pastors quitting the ministry because they're burned out. That's not a badge of honor. That can be a badge of shame. I want us to be healthy spiritually and relationally and financially and emotionally. But one of the things, too, is I also care about this section, particularly in the third service, because it's filled with all of our kids. Our kids from seventh grade or sixth grade all the way through high school. And I care about them, right? Don't we care about them? And the thing about it is, unless something happens, our kids are going to grow up, your children are going to grow up with stress-filled lives. Because they're going to watch us and they're going to see how we are living our life and running from one thing to the next. And if we're not careful, the insanity is we're going to pass on to our children the craziness of overloaded lives, and overloaded lives run out of emotional, spiritual, and physical gas. They just become exhausted. And so what God is wanting this holiday season, in this summertime, God is saying, I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear my voice. Hearing God's voice is not difficult. We have to change the pace of our lives. Something has to happen. Listen to what Job really understood, overloaded existence. Let me go back and just read his part again. He said, if my misery could be weighed, in other words, he said, if my load, if the burden I'm carrying, if you could pile the whole bitter load on the scales, it would be heavier than all the sand of the sea. If anybody understood an overloaded life, if anybody understood what running on empty is like, it was Job. Well, here's the deal. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus gives us three strategies, three, if you will, steps. I don't always like, you know, steps or all that, but three strategies for reducing stress. And here's what I want you to understand. You know, I have the gift of encouragement. So let me just say this. The stress of your life isn't going to disappear. So just forget it. It's not. You say, oh, man. No, it's not. The stress of our lives is not going away. But what God is simply saying is, there is a way for me to live that stress doesn't overwhelm me. There is a way. I didn't say that. Jesus did. And so I want you to look at the truth in your outline. If you got out your life point outlines, stress is overwhelming only if you carry it, but not if God carries it with you. Okay? And that, I didn't say that. Jesus did. So let me just break this message down into, you know, 3 points. No poem, just 3 points. All right, number one, what do I need to do? What does Jesus say are the steps of beginning to be able to live in the midst of stress but not be overwhelmed by stress? He said, number one, I want you to come to me. Or you can write down, go to him. That's the first thing. We go to him. To the weary and the overwhelmed, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. You know, when you think about it, what do we go to the Lord for? We go to the Lord. I would go to the Lord so much in my life for direction, right? Lord, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what to do about that. We will go to him because we need a prayer answered. We got this request. We go to God because we need peace or we want comfort. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I want you to come to me for rest. And here's what I want you to notice. It isn't just any rest. Jesus said, I want you to come to me and you will find rest for your what? Soul. Jesus said, come to me and you'll find rest for your soul. The greatest source of stress for us this morning is not worn out muscles. Some of us here, and I'm not pointing any finger, maybe could use a little more stress on the muscles. We're getting a little soft, getting a little soft, and that'll happen if you're not staying with the exercise, okay? But that's a whole nother message. The source of stress most of us deal with is like the tension in our minds, you know, from just trying to handle everything and worry, fear, anxiety, guilt, you know, just pick something. So how do we de-stress our lives? So many of us, and I've done this before, we seek to de-stress our lives by what? Oh, I'm not going to, you know, the wife says or the guy says, let's don't eat at home tonight. Let's do what? Let's go out, right? Let's go out and eat. So you go out and you eat, or you watch a movie, you put something in, or, you know, go to Netflix or whatever, or you go to the movie shows, or you got a hobby, you got a sports, or maybe you sleep. But here's the deal. The problem is none of those things give us soul rest. And that's why we wind up staying agitated all the time. Sleep will rest my body, but it doesn't rest my soul. And that's what the Lord said we need. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your, what again? Your souls. And the Lord is the only one that can do that. Here's the truth of your outline. Only God can rest your soul. And that's Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Now listen, those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. Now here's the truth I want to give you this morning. The antidote to an overloaded soul is time alone with God. The answer to a stressed out life is not a plan, a purpose, a program, or a pill. It's a person. That's what Jesus said. He said, come to me. Now, I want you to listen. I want you to be very careful. And listen. I did not say when you are stressed, you need more Bible study. When you are stressed, you don't need more worship. You need to be more faithful in worship. No, you need to be faithful to life group. You just need to be around other people and be sharing your burden. No, it's not Bible study. It's not worship. It's not more time with the life group. Here's the definition in your outline. To wait on the Lord means to be still before him. When Jesus said, come unto me, he's wanting us to wait on him. And what that means is, it's not reading the Bible, it's not praying, but it is listening for the still small voice of God to direct me. And so what it means is, in waiting on him, it means that I get alone and I'm not having necessarily an open Bible in front of me, and I'm just totally alone, and I'm just saying, Father, Lord Jesus, I am here. Is there something that you want to say to me? Because my life is crazy and I am overloaded. Father, is there something you want to say to me? And then once you say that, then you wait. You just wait. You say, well, how long? As long as it takes. Why? Because you're waiting on him. You're waiting on him. You're waiting on the Lord to speak. And when you're overloaded, I need, the extent to which you're overloaded is the extent to which you need more time with him. You need time with him. Why? Because I need my soul refreshed. And God is the only one that can do that. And what Jesus said is, he said, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And so I'm waiting, and I'm waiting for God to speak to me. I'm waiting for God to talk to me. And you say, well, then that raises another problem. How do I know that I am hearing him? You go to the Word. Because whatever the Lord says is going to be backed up by the Word. You see, I've got thoughts. God's got thoughts, and Satan's got thoughts. And the only way that I know that it's God's thoughts is that the Word backs it up. The Word always backs up whatever God speaks to me. Now, I'm going to read Matthew 6, verse 6. This tells us how to do it. And this is in the Message version. I like the way it wrote. I always like the Message, but I really like this. And it said this. Find a quiet, this is Jesus speaking. Find a quiet, secluded space so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and as honest as you can manage. And the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Here's what God is saying. When you and I are overwhelmed by life, my greatest need is alone time with God. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Jesus said, when you're overwhelmed, get away from everything and just get alone before me. Come to me. Come to me. And so if you're running on empty this July the 4th, your first step is what? Cry out to God. You cry out to Him. It's not a pill, it is a person. Jesus said, come to me when you're heavy laden and I will give you what? Rest. Jesus said, I'll give you rest. And so it's not anything else, it's Him. Getting alone with Him. And then number two, I come to Him. And then number two, I yield control. I yield control. Now I get stressed in life because I begin to believe that I can make life work. I believe I can make the church work. I believe that I can do whatever needs to be done in life. That I, if it is to be, it's what? It's up to me. If it is to be, it's up to me. I've got to pull this off. Life working out is not all about you and me. That was worth the price of admission for many of you. Life working out does not depend on you. You can resign as general manager of the universe and life will go on tomorrow. The sun will come up. It will. Without you. And maybe you say, but I am not a control person. Sure you are. There's not a person in this room who is not a control person. We're all controllers. Some of us do it more obviously than others. Some of you are so obviously controllers. You go around bossing everybody. You live to tell people what to do. And it's not necessarily because you just think so much of yourself. It's just the reality. You know that you know what needs to be done. Nobody knows it better than you. And you can tell people, look, if you just do this, and if you do that, if you would just do what I tell you to do, things would be so much better. And you know that's the truth. Others of us are just more subtle. But see, here's the truth in your outline. All of us are controllers. And to you and me, here's Jesus' words to every one of us in this room. Now, I want you to listen to what He said. He said, take my yoke on you. Take my yoke on you. I know what some of you are saying. Great. There's another load for me to carry. Right? Take a yoke, right? Get something else on. And that's not what He's saying here. I want you to listen very carefully. Look at the truth in your outline. Taking up Jesus' yoke means yielding to His control of your life. You understand, I know a lot of us are not country people. I don't consider myself country people. But a yoke, and maybe you've seen that on old westerns or whatever, and a yoke is something that fits over two animals, right? Fits over the back of their neck. And whether it's horses or whether it's oxen or whatever, and you put that yoke on the two of them, and what happens is, as soon as they are yoked together, the workload for each of them is cut in half because they're both pulling the thing. And the deal is, both of them at that point wind up going the same direction and they go the same pace. Are you tracking with me what Jesus said? What He's talking about here? So here are two insights that Jesus gives us. And this is in your notes. Taking His yoke means doing life with Him, not without Him. And I want you to write it in someplace. It's a partnership. Jesus said, I want life to be a partnership with you and me. And what the Lord is saying is, God doesn't want me doing life alone. God wants me to... He wants to be there with me to help me face my stress, my problems, and my challenges because they're not going away. Remember, we live on a broken planet. This is a broken world. We are broken people. And taking Christ's yoke means that He is going to take on Himself the weight of my overloaded life. And here's the truth in your outline. If you're stressed and feeling overloaded, you're not yoked with the Lord. Why? Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what? It's light. He said, my yoke, my burden is light. And so if your days are heavy and your spirit is burdened down and you are pulling your life load alone, and the Lord said, don't do that. I want to get in that with you. And so the first thing he says is, I want us to be in a partnership, all right? And then number two, he says that I want you to understand that the yoke is a symbol of control. And when I get in a yoke with Jesus Christ, when I say, Lord, I want to be yoked with you, what I'm saying is, I want you to set the pace and the direction of my life. And that's what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying, your pace and your direction is wrong. And I want to set the pace of your life. I want to set the direction of your life. So farmers yoke animals to make sure they go the same direction and they go the same speed. All right? And so that's why they get in the yoke together. All right, so look at the truth in your outline. We get into life trouble when we are not yoked to the Lord Jesus. We either go too fast or we take off in the wrong direction. And I know exactly what that's like. Just the crazy stress of my life. So Psalm 55, verse 2. Pile your troubles on God's shoulders and he will carry your load and help you out. So here's what God is saying is, God is saying, listen, you're going to be yoked to something. Every one of us here this morning are yoked to something. Maybe this morning the stress in your life is because you're yoked to your job. I know what that's like. I can yoke myself up to the church real fast. And I can yoke myself to this, and I can begin to carry the weight that everything about this church is just falling on me. And I can carry the weight of the troubles of your lives and feel the pressure that I've got to try to come up with all these messages to meet you where you are. And that is a huge load that God never intended for me to carry. It will crush me. And there are times that it does that in my own life. And that's not your fault. That's my fault that I begin to deal with that. And maybe you're carrying the yoke of parenting, or you're carrying your husband's yoke, or your yoke to your wife or to your kids, or your yoke to making money. And whatever you're yoked to, it is setting the pace and it is setting the direction of your life. And the reality is that many of us are carrying multiple yokes. There's more than one thing. And that's why our life is so crazy. And Jesus said there's only supposed to be one yoke in your life. And I want you yoked to me. I want to set the direction and I want to set the pace of your life. Jesus said, I want to do that. And so the Lord says, take off all those yokes and get in the yoke with me, and I will help you go through life. You see, the Lord Jesus knows how he's gifted you and me. The Lord knows how he has wired us. And what he will do is he will direct you and me and in the direction that fits you and me. It won't fit anybody else, but it will fit us. And the Lord is saying, I want you to stop trying to please people. I just want you to work at pleasing me. And that's going to automatically liberate many of us. Would you agree with that? Just, we're not trying to please people anymore. I can't please everybody. I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. The antidote to stress isn't taking a trip. You see, because the stress is in my mind. And here's the insight in your outline. Escape isn't the answer to stress. It is giving up control. It doesn't do me any good. And there's times I'll tell Catherine, I say, babe, I've just reached a time where I need to get on the other side of the city limit sign. How many of you understand that? See your hand. You understand that? I want to get out of Dodge. Are you with me? That is an exercise in futility. You know why? Because I go with it. Wherever I go, there I am. Right? And you see, the problem is what's going on between my ears. It's what's going on inside of me. The only way I get peace is to give up control.
And I started letting somebody else direct my life. Psalm 107, verse 1. Say thank you to the Lord for being so good and for always being so loving and kind. And what God is saying is when you are grateful for my help in your life, the stress just begins to go down. So he says, I want you to come to me and I want you to yield control to me. All right, now let me land the plane on this last one. And that is, number three, I need to trust the Lord. I need to trust him. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. And then, you know, our natural response would be, Lord, what are we supposed to learn from you, right? So what did Jesus say? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me because I am humble and I am gentle at heart. All right, here's what I want you to understand. The main lesson that the Lord Jesus is going to teach you and me is how to be gentle and how to be humble. That's what he's going to teach me. And the Lord is saying, if you want peace in your life, you need to learn two things. You need to learn how to be gentle, and you need to learn how to be humble. Now, I know that like freaks you out. You're like, I do not understand what that means. All right, let me go. Here's the truth in your outline. The two greatest causes of life stress, according to Jesus, are arrogance and aggression. The two greatest causes of stress are arrogance and aggression. I've never seen this before. Let me talk about aggression, first of all. Aggression happens. Problems happen because we don't think we do. And I want to ask for a show of hands of how many of us are guilty of that. We just do something too quickly. We don't wait. We don't meditate. We just do it. As Americans, we understand aggression better than anybody probably in the world. Let me give you a little bit of test. All right? I want to see if you can't finish these sentences. Which bird is it that gets the worm? The early bird, see? There you go. You already knew that one. All right? How many times do you go around in life? Once. And so you better grab all the what? The gusto that you can. Why? You're only going to go around once in life. You got to get out there and make it what? Happen. Everybody knows that. What are you, some kind of wuss? You know, you just kind of lay there. You think it's going to come to you? Get out there, boy. If it's going to be, it's up to you. Get out there and make it happen. And God's people fail. And God is not about laziness. He's not going to just lay stuff in our lap. So it's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is we have been taught aggression virtually from day one. We've almost made it all, being an American, that you are aggressive. And the reality is, it is destroying people because we are not waiting. We fail to wait on God's leading, and we get in over our heads. Oh, God, help me. If you don't do this, they're going to take my house. They're going to take my car. They're going to abscond everything that I've got. Would you agree with me? It is always easier to get into something than it is to get out of it. It is so easy to get. It is easier to commit than it is to finish what you committed to. I just can't do this. Why can't you do it? I've just got too much in my life. Why do you have too much in your life? Because you asked for it. You went after it. We go after it. It is always easier to fill my schedule than to fulfill my schedule and my responsibilities. You know what that is? It's aggression. And we don't ask God, should I? Should I? Lord, I want to do well in life, but I don't know if I should do this or not. And then the second one is arrogance. Arrogance is the lifestyle of seeking to control everything and everyone. And it's just arrogance. That I know what to do. I know what's best for me, and I'm going to hold the reins. I know what I need in my life. I know what's best for you, and you'd be better off to do it my way. You know, we're not going to learn from Jesus overnight. It takes time to reduce life stress, but you can begin today. You know, the thing that I realize about the Lord is that Jesus was never stressed because he always did life just what the Father wanted him to do. Jesus, there are 12 times in the Gospel of John that Jesus said, I only say what the Father wants me to say. I only do what the Father wants me to do. I only go where the Father wants me to go. He said, that's what I wait on. And Jesus was always doing marvelous things. So it's not about being idle. It's just about doing the right thing. And that means doing what God wants you to do. Why? Because the Lord knows what he's wired you to do. He knows how he has gifted us. So what's Jesus' words to us this 4th of July? He's saying three things. He said, come to me. Get in my yoke with me. I want to set the direction and I want to set the speed of your life. And if you're feeling overloaded, it is because you have created an insane pace that I never intended for you to make in your life. And so he is saying, learn from me gentleness and humility. So the thing is, what's weighing you down this morning? On this 4th of July, we're talking about liberty. And what the Lord is saying, maybe your children are weighing you down. Maybe your job, your finances, the work. The greatest issue is living life apart from him. That's our biggest issue, trying to do life without him. 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus personally carried the load of your sins in his own body when he died on the cross so that we can be finished with sin and live a good life from now on. And the Lord is saying, I want to do that for you. I want you this morning to just simply say, Lord, I want to give you the stress of my life. And you're the only one that can teach me what I need to be doing in this life, the pace that I need to be going. Lord, you're the one that can enable me to live life and enjoy the days that I've got. I'd like for us to just get ready this morning. So would you bow your heads for just a moment? We're going to have a little bit of music and a little bit of stillness before the Lord. And I know that this morning, there's some of you, all of us have been here, and maybe this morning that's where you are. And there's a real desire in your life that you want to find a place of quietness. You want to find a place of stillness before the Lord. You're ready this morning to get into that yoke with the Lord Jesus so that the Lord can set the pace and the direction of your life. And so the best prayer you can pray this morning is for the Lord to forgive you for overloading your life, for going too fast, too far without him directing you. And in just a moment, I'm going to ask us to stand, and I'm going to invite you this morning to just come and stand here with me, because I want to pray over you that the Lord will lift the load of your life. There's going to be challenges. Life is not going to get any less difficult than it is. In fact, it may increase. But the thing is, the Lord says, I want to lead you through that. I want to direct your life. And so he says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart. And if that speaks to you, I want to ask you, let's stand together before the Lord, be sensitive to those around you. I want to ask you, if that speaks to you, just come and just stand here at the front, and we're going to pray together before we're dismissed this morning. Just come from wherever you are. Stand here at the front together.